I forgot to talk to you about long-term capital management. We had David Modest here, who gave a really wonderful talk, and I encourage some of you to go. It was one of our best talks that I can recall all the years I've been here at Berkeley. I'll just mention one of the things that I took away from the talk that I didn't appreciate. They had done scenario analyses asking how bad could things get. And they were worried about the problem that they had good positions, but even if you have a good position, things can get worse before they get better, in a sense, requiring more capital as the positions move against you. And you have to be able to live through the bad times in order to make it to the good time. Now, this wasn't just fluff. He gave an example where there were two bonds, almost the same maturity, but they were selling out of line with respect to each other, because one was the on-the-run bond, was very actively traded, and the other was less liquid. But if you could just hold on for a while, the prices should come into line. But they could get further out of line before they came into line. If you could wait all the way to the maturity of the bonds, you were sure to make money. The question was, could you make it? And if prices went against you in the middle of the strategy, you'd have to put up more capital. This is a problem that Mittelgesellschaft ran into. This was briefly discussed in the text. It's another source of risk in running derivative strategies. You may think you have a good investment, but you have to be able to hold to it. In Mittelgesellschaft's case, it wasn't that they ran out of capital, they just quit. In LTCM's case, there was a danger they might be forced to liquidate all their positions because they were running out of capital. So that was one problem they ran into. And actually, it was a problem that in the paper I initially wrote with John Cox and Steve Ross on binomial option pricing, which we're going to talk about today, actually talks about scenarios where things get worse before they get better while you're employing the binomial technique. And we point out, if you just have enough capital and can hold on, you'll come out ahead at the end. So they had done some scenario analysis, and they were concerned about this problem. And they had concluded that the worst that could happen to them was that they'd lose half their capital. If they lost half their capital, they could still hold on. In fact, they felt their positions were so good, they could probably go out and convince people to give them more capital. Then there was something they didn't figure on, and this was the most interesting thing to me. They had invested in a wide variety of situations, like the two bonds, the sort of hedge situations, where there were two securities that were very similar when they would buy one and sell the other. Different markets around the world, some in currency, some related to interest rates, probably some related to other kinds of underlying assets, and then around the world. So they felt that they were fairly well diversified. They would actually have meetings every week where they would estimate the volatility to the return of their whole portfolio on a daily basis for the next month. And he said that they always were estimating on the high side. Realized volatility always came in lower than what they'd estimated. So they figured they were being pretty conservative in their estimates. And of course, key consideration in this estimate of volatility of their whole portfolio was the correlation of the returns of their individual investments with each other. They thought they had a fairly diversified portfolio, and I think it's probably fair to say on a fundamental basis, they did. But then they encountered something they didn't expect. Other people realized that these were good investments too, and so they had competitors who had similar portfolios to what they had. Each one thought they were similarly diversified. But then, when some things began to go wrong in a few situations, some people decided to liquidate. Some people apparently would pull back their positions across the board. So two investments, which were apparently fundamentally unrelated, became correlated because the same investor was selling out of both of them at the same time. And that was the kind of risk that they didn't anticipate. It also, there was a third problem they had, of course, was that they were very large. These positions became very illiquid. They were sort of illiquid to begin with, and they couldn't get out of them fast enough. But for me, the most interesting thing was this idea that things that can fundamentally seem uncorrelated can, because of strategies used by investors, become correlated, at least temporarily, and get you into a lot of trouble.